Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships live radio broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Sadar Williams, and I just want to say to you, happy Passover. It is so good to be back with you this week, and what a special day that we are. It is Passover 2016. It is the day that marks and commemorates when God delivers the Israelites out of Egypt, and it marks the day and time when Jesus became the perfect sacrifice, the spotless lamb, died on the cross, and we know that he was buried and was resurrected on the third day, and so it is just an amazing time. This is actually the month of Aviv, which is actually the religious or the biblical New Year. We have a biblical New Year, we have a Jewish New Year, and we have a, you know, what most of us know as our, I guess it's the Gregorian New Year, which is what most, what the United States goes by. But God is a God of times, he's a God of seasons, and the biblical New Year is so significant and so important. So this is really a new beginning, a new season, so Happy New Year. You can tell someone that, Happy New Year. And so we are observing the month of Abib, and I'll read from Deuteronomy chapter 16. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat unleavened bread with it. 7 days with you shall eat unleavened bread. That is the bread of affliction, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all of your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight till morning. And we know that Passover is actually the one of the three pilgrimage feasts. So that means that all the men in Jerusalem, or all the Jewish men, are to journey and make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem during the Passover, which is a feast of unleavened bread, and then also during the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is just a significant time just to remember and be reminded of who Christ is and what he has done on our behalf. Through becoming the perfect sacrifice. And the word says, Jesus said to his disciples that he did not come to do away with the law, but he came as the fulfillment of the law, the promise, and what the law could not do, he did. He completed it and he finished it. And so we are just so grateful on this day and just during this season in honor of what Christ has done in becoming that perfect sacrifice, in becoming the spotless Lamb of God. And we celebrate this time, this Kairos moment, this God moment where Jesus said, it is finished. He did it. And all we have to do now is to walk in the blessing, walk in the favor of God, and have him our Lord, make him our Lord and King. He is our chief high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and his priesthood will remain throughout eternity. And so we are serving a great high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and he's saying to us today, it is finished. We just have to receive what he did for us on the cross, receive the blessing, receive our adoption, receive our heirship. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is who we are, walking in our heirship, walking in the adoption that Christ has paid for us by his own precious blood, the blood that he shed for us. Let's look at the First Corinthians. I want to take one of the texts from First Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to look. This chapter is really appropriately titled "Do Not Behave Like the World, Like Worldly People." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the scripture says to us, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I'll read that again. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Today we had an amazing time at the Holy Spirit Refreshing Conference. And it was amazing. The Holy Spirit had his way. He was the center stage. He was there in honor, and God just had his way. And it was an amazing time, and everyone was refreshed. And that is what I believe God desired. Jesus said that in Acts chapter 1 that he would send a comforter, and that when the Holy Spirit would come, that we would receive power and that we would be his witnesses everywhere. And so the Holy Spirit is so important to us. And the scripture says that our body is his temple. No longer, like in Moses' day, they had the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, or God's Spirit, in the tabernacle, which was made by man. God gave Moses instruction on how to build the tabernacle, and they made it. Mm-hmm. And within the inner court and the holies of holies, the presence of God. Well, now the Holy Spirit is now within us. Yeah. He is residing and dwelling in our tabernacles that God made, that were made by God. And that's just a powerful, powerful covenant that God has made with us. What Christ did when he shed his blood is that he made way. His blood was like the signature of the new covenant that we have with God. And what the first Adam couldn't do, God sent the second Adam. And Jesus did it with his own blood. God came down from heaven himself. He came in and shed and died a death that is for criminals and for the accursed, because the Bible says cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And he did all of that for us so that he could come into a covenant, a new covenant with us. And that covenant brings us into adoption as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have been adopted into the kingdom of God. And that means that God is our Father, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit and the power and the empowerment and the enablement of the Father. And so it says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, because we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so when it says that that the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit is in us not to stay in us, but so that he can get out and make a difference within the world. The Bible says that that out of us, or from our inmost being, will flow rivers of living water. So the Holy Spirit is in us, not just to stay in us, but to overflow, to bubble forth. We saw a lot of that bubbling forth today at the Holy Spirit Refreshing Conference. The empowerment, the Holy Spirit in us coming forth like rivers to bring refreshing, to bring life, to affect everything around. And that's what God has created for us. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. For you were bought at a price, the precious blood of Jesus. God himself came down, became man, and he died for our sins. And he says, we were bought at a price, the precious blood of Christ. There's a song that says, in talking to Jesus, it says, you thought I was worth saving. So you came and you gave your life so that I can be free, so that I can be whole, and so I can tell everyone I know. So God himself paid the price. And then it says, therefore, you know, because of all this that's been done for us, that God has done for us, bought us at a price, and he put his seal, his mark of the Holy Spirit in us, his empowerment. Therefore, because of all of this, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. So in other words, part of the covenant that God gave was that he bought us and he marked us by his spirit. He calls us heirs. We are his heirs and we are joint heirs with Christ. God doesn't just own our spirit. He doesn't just own our soul, but he owns everything. He body, soul, and spirit, and he wants us to glorify him. We are heirs of God. We are chosen, and we have been adopted. Let's look over now at another scripture. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4. This is where we're going to share as well. So when Jesus adopted us, he marked us by his spirit. He calls us heirs and joint heirs with Christ. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, now I say that the heir, we'll start there. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then what does it say there? Then you are an heir of God through Christ. Just say right there, thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and the beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go down and move to verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through the promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate woman has more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what the Scripture says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. We'll go read that again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty in which Christ has made us free. Stand fast, endure, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. So this is talking about our covenant in Christ, about the new covenant, that what God did when he became the perfect, spotless sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. And we'll continue. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You've fallen from grace. Verse 5, Galatians 5 and chapter 5. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. For the past few weeks, we have been talking about faith. We've been talking about what faith is. We've been talking about just growing in faith, and we know that faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But in Christ Jesus, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. So how do we have a relationship with God? How do we enter in and take full rights as sons and daughters of God in this new covenant? This is telling us right here, it's by faith. Faith working through love. God is good. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, you ran well. Who hindered you from observing the truth? This persecution does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called. And underline that. Called to what? What are we called to in this covenant, in this new life in Christ? Liberty. We are called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Amen. So I love the epistles because they talk about our covenant and who we are in Christ, what our covenant is in Christ, and what he has done for us. God has given us his Spirit. He's adopted us as heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, and he calls us his sons, his daughters, his children. And he has given us the Spirit that cries, Abba Father, Daddy God. We live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships. And just say to you again, happy Passover. And I just pray that you're having an awesome day. And the next 7 days is the in Jerusalem celebrating the Passover. But let's take this time just to remember and to know and to be reminded of our covenant in Christ that God wrote in his own blood. And he became a sacrifice. We no longer have to sacrifice as they did in the Old Testament, rams and bulls, but God has called us to be living sacrifices, according to Romans chapter 12. I want to share with you in our close of who we are. We've been talking about faith and being heirs and knowing who we are and our identity in Christ. As we've shared that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so he has made us his heirs, according to Romans 8 and 17. According to Galatians 3, 13 and 14, we are heirs to the blessings of Abraham. Through Christ, we attain eternal life, according to 1 John 5, 11 and 12. We are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah Rophi, he's our healer, according to 1 Peter 2 and 24. He has given us his authority over the power of the enemy, according to Luke 10 and 19. He says he will trample upon serpents and scorpions and not be harmed. And that's in Matthew 28, 18 and 19. He has healed us. He gives us victory through Christ. We have, with our covenant, with God through Christ, we have victory. We are more than a conqueror, according to Romans 8 and 37. We are overcomers by his blood. We overcome the enemy. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Revelation 12 and 11. We daily overcome the enemy, according to 1 John 4 and 4. Hallelujah. We have the blessing of God. We are strong. He gives us strength according to Ephesians chapter 6. We have his armor. We can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So he empowers us. And he takes our cares. We can cast our cares upon him according to 1 Peter 5 and 7. He takes our cares. So we don't have to be burdened down with the cares of this world. He meets all of our needs. What a great covenant we have. According to Philippians 4:19, he says, I will supply all of your needs. And that's according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are blessed in Christ with all spiritual blessings, according to Ephesians 1 and 3. He gives us righteousness. He takes away our reproach, our sin, through Christ Jesus, and gives us his righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. We are imitators. We are imitators, you know, of Jesus, according to the Ephesians 5 and 1. We're the light of the world, like a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Matthew 5 and 14. And we have the power to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. The ability to cast down vain imaginations, to bring every thought into captivity, and to not be moved by what we see, according to 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. So let's just take time and pray and thank God for the covenant that he has made. The better covenant is called in the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the fulfillment, God. You are the completion. You are the maturity of all of the laws and all the prophets. And we thank you, God, that in you we have eternal life. In you we have everything we need. We live, we move, and we have our being. We are heirs, God. We are joint heirs. We have your spirit, your mark, your seal, your empowerment, Lord. And so we just thank you, Father. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we apply the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorpost of our lives today. Hallelujah. And we thank you, God, that we are blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. We're blessed in the city and in the fields. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful day of rest and Sabbath, and just enjoy this Passover time. And we just say to you, success to you and success to the kingdom of God. Amen.
We got a box, girl. Putting the words up there.